Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Monday, August 13th, 2018. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 303. I have a super special return favorite guest, comedian, podcaster, black dad, Randolph Terrence from the Three Guys on Podcast. You know him. You love him. Going to share that conversation with you in a bit. Right now, I'm just going to chat with you for a little bit. I won't hold you. You don't have to fast forward to get to Randolph. You can listen to me for a little bit. Just a little bit. All right, you guys? Jeez. All right, so last week was pretty busy, pretty hectic. I found out that I did not get juror number 12 on that CBS show. They gave it to somebody else, and I felt like I was in limbo for, you know, you wouldn't think for about four lines on a network TV show, you wouldn't think the decision would be that hard for them. You know, they got my hopes up, and then I was just like, okay, really? Is this what you're going to do? You're going to go another way? You're going another way? All right, show that I never heard of before. All right, I'll be back. There'll be other chances. But it's cool that I made a good first impression with a new casting director that I had never met before. I now know when I go back to that casting director, I can do street parking instead of garage parking. How about that? That's something that you learn, folks. That's one thing. Everybody who's an actor in a major city, in New York or L.A., I was talking to a buddy who's a comic and actor that lives in L.A., and he was just telling me how, I was like, man, we were both like, I was bitching, and he was like, dude, everybody has it hard, because I drive an hour in to go to the city, usually from work, and go in an audition, pay like $20 for parking, just to say three lines, or sometimes just one line. Like when Jess and I were talking last week, sometimes you do that and then you have to sit in traffic to go home and it's just a shit show. But it's what we do. It's a part of the game. I'm just taking you under the hood, showing you what it's really like. It's not all fun and games, folks. It's not, you know? And he was just talking about, dude, in LA, it's traffic all the time. It's just, it's constant. You know, it's crazy. I hear comics and actors on podcasts talk about that stuff all the time. So it's a part of the game. It's just a part of the game. It's the nature of the beast called show business. I had two auditions last week, one for a network show, another one for a show that's really popular. It would be like a recurring role, which would be dope as fuck. When you think about, like, I try to think more positively now. I think about booking a gig like that, and I just think about making payments on shit, you know, like you just actually answering the phone when a bill collector calls. You're like, yeah, I already sent $500 a couple days ago. You calm down. You hold your horses. You settle down. You think about going to the mechanic and getting brakes fixed, I got my rear brakes fixed, got some new brakes, and you think about, oh, let's do the front. And they say, sir, we found this little thing. It's going to be 70 extra bucks. And you're like, go ahead and do it. Go ahead. You're just throwing money at the mechanic, just taking care of shit, buying your parents shit from Amazon that they want. My mom's like, I need some new soles for my things. And you're like, what else do you want, mom? And you just get it for them, you know, that type of shit. That's the thing. That's going to happen. It'll happen with one of these fucking gigs. And Sunday, I kind of had a blast from the past. This podcast is late because I was going through some things, guys. I was just busy and I was trying to fix things. Actually, I had recorded an intro on Saturday. I was going to upload it early Sunday morning, but I found that I deleted the intro that I had earlier. So I'm just keeping it real with you guys. And I was like, you know what? I didn't feel like recording another one. So you're getting this one. You're getting the episode a day late. But if you're a Patreon subscriber, you have a conversation with Randolph and me. We review Black Klansman, and you have an indie movie corner with me reviewing not one, but two independent films, Night Comes On and The Miseducation of Cameron Post. So you get that. So, Sunday, I had a blast from the past. I went to the NBC Stand Up for Diversity auditions. So I got an appointment for the callback. Now, 7 or 8 years ago, I had to stand in line to be one of the first 100 or so people in order to get called in to audition for the thing. So that 2011, I would say, was when that was. And I was about 2 years in, a young comic with nothing but dreams. I did it 2 years in a row. The first year, I did not get past. So I stood in line all day and didn't get past the first round. The second year I did it, I made it to a callback. And then this year, I did not have to stand in line, which was dope because a good friend had vouched for me. And I was able to just do, because I wasn't even thinking about it. The guy was like, hey, Chris, do you want to do this thing, bro? I got the hookup. I was like, sure, why not? If I don't have to stand in line, let's do it. When is it? Okay. Sunday morning, I have an appointment at 10 a.m. And so this is a thing where you go in, you do 2 minutes of, they tell you to do polished material. And I go in, I say, okay, I'll just do a truncated, I'll cut a bit in half that I know has a couple jokes in it, and it ends on an up, and ends on a bump, and ends on a nice little punchline or whatever. And I'm like, I'll do that. And so I get there, I stand in line. It's about 20 comics, and you go in there, it's at Gotham Comedy Club, and there's three judges, and then there's an announcer, a woman who's running the whole thing, and they call you up, and they tell you, you know. And I realized that while I was there, competitions and contests to me, I think they're all bullshit unless you win. They're all bullshit unless you win or finish in the money. Like you just make it to the semifinals or you make it to a showcase where more eyes are on you and then you do win. But if you don't, it's I'm not going to be bitter. It's kind of bullshit. I realize that I was beyond this. Not to sound like a dude. I'm keeping it real. I'm beyond that type of audition because I've already amassed quite a few credits and I have stuff. But even still, there were people that were there that had television credits. Some have been on TV quite a few times and they were still auditioning. And some were very seasoned vets that have done television shows on NBC that were... It was just kind of weird, okay? I don't know what their criteria is. It's casting. But I also noticed that there were some people, I don't even know if they realized that, I don't even know if they were real comedians, because some of the stuff that they were doing was just like really hack and derivative. And I'm not bitter. I didn't get passed on. I'm recording this episode while the showcase is going on right now. But so it goes. But I just kind of realized like, I don't know if I should be, doing this anymore. I just don't think that's my lane. I don't think my lane is the competition route, but an opportunity was there and I said, why not? Why not give it a go? Let the podcast be a little late. Maybe I don't watch Power early in the morning when I wake up. Maybe I prep to try to be on TV like an Omari Hardwick or like the evil kid that plays Tariq. You know, maybe if I worked a little bit, somebody could be watching me on the telly. But so it goes. I don't think I'll ever do that again. I'm not gonna do that again. You live and you learn, you know? What else, you guys? I wanted to say check out a friend of the pod. Okay, so this is Randolph and I, we talked last week, and we had a really good conversation. We talked about a lot of different things, and we talked about the NFL boycotts. We talked about protesting, and I said during the conversation that I didn't think anybody was protesting, and that's not true, because Kenny Stills, wide receiver for the Dolphins, knelt during the preseason game. There were a couple other players who did. One guy held up a fist. Marshawn Lynch sat. Like, he sat, I think, last year, too, like during the anthem. He sat on the bench. And so there's dudes that are still protesting, and which is cool. And then I got a friend of the podcast, Al Jackson, comedian Al Jackson, who is a host on this show called Daily Blast Live. He had like a 2-minute rant talking about kneeling, the veterans, and all of this stuff as it related to what was going on in the NFL. And it was very brilliant. It was eloquent. It's on my Twitter timeline. You follow Al Jackson on Twitter. What is his handle? I think it's just Al Jackson. Yeah, it's just Al Jackson on Twitter. And he's been on the show before. He's been on the pod, maybe I want to say 2016 he was on. I can't remember, but he had to be on after the Cavs won the chip. So yeah, he's been on the show. Really funny dude. Very poignant stuff that he said. Very I think I just said talk that talk, Al. I retweeted somebody who tagged him in a little video clip, and he's kind of been making the rounds today on CNN, and I think he was on HLN just talking about what he said last week. So there's guys are still doing their thing in the league and protesting. So that's really cool. Trying to think of anything else I could tell you. This Wednesday, on the 15th, J.L. Covan, Thoughts and Prayers album recording at Helium Comedy Club. I'm opening. It's going to be fun, super fun. J.L. is a super brilliant comedian, and he's got his bars locked and loaded. I'm going to be dropping some bars, but J.L.'s going to be really laying his thing down, recording this album. So if you're in the Philadelphia area, Philadelphia, Delaware, South Jersey, Cherry Hill, Mount Laurel, you know what I'm saying? Upper Darby, you know what I mean? Come out. Come out to this show, man. It's going to be really fun. I haven't been to Helium in 5 years, so I'm excited to go back to Philly and do some stand-up, get tickets for that. Rod and Karen, the Black Eye Who Tips Live, September 20th. Go to their website, get tickets for that. Charlotte, North Carolina, Blumenthal Center for the Performing Arts. I'm opening up the show. It's going to be good. I'm jumping around. September 8th, I'm headlining at Lucy's Laugh Lounge in Pleasantville, New York, Saturday night. That's going to be fun. Get tickets for that. You can go to that. Go to the website there. What else? Next week, next Saturday, I'll plug it even more. I'll plug it in shit, but why not, since I got you here? Pretty much the best comedy show, 4-year anniversary show, headlining that show. I will be doing that. Darren Patterson is opening for me. Thomas Attila Lewis, it's his show. He's a producer. He's going to be hosting. It's going to be so much fun. And I'm thinking after party at Slidin' Dirty, right next door to the theater. That's what I'm hoping for. And I think that's it, folks. I think that's it. I got to work on another audition to try to buy my parents shit from Amazon and pay some bills and get my car fixed and shit. So that's what I'm working on. I hope everybody has a great week. Enjoy my conversation with the great Randolph Terrence. Are you still boycotting the NFL?
Yep.
So you're not watching it?
I'm out, dude. I'm way out.
You're right.
No, I'm not watching either. Yeah. I'm way out.
So you didn't watch any of the Hall of Fame speeches?
Okay. So I wanted to sit down and watch them just for this.
Yeah.
But you know what pushed me off of doing that was Ray Lewis.
Well,
because I watched a little bit of his, and I was like, I can't do this. That dude is a character now, man. He's not even a normal man anymore. He's like, he's just a character of what people think he's supposed to. It's depressing, man. Looking at him, you talk about cooning and just shucking and jiving, and it's sad.
He had a wireless mic.
Yeah, it's sad, man.
And listening to the
way how joyful white folks are, and looking at that shit, it's sad, man.
he's not my favorite. It's just it's kind of, some of it seems a little disingenuous. And then after all this Kaepernick shit, you know,
yeah.
He's just like, oh, I don't really. It's people are gonna really be on the wrong fucking side of history. They already are now, but when the 30 right. for 30 comes out, when all this documentary shit comes out, people are gonna hate what they see when they look at themselves.
Right.
It's really fucking sad. I know that I joke about black quarterbacks and I have my feelings. You know, most people that listen to my show know how I feel about black quarterbacks, but Jesus Christ, man. It's like if you don't, this is just the time where people, you have to have a stance on something.
I believe that too.
It doesn't matter
what. I believe that too.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what platform you have, how many followers you have on social media. You kind of have to stand for something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I believe that too. This is the time.
Did you get my text about Kevin Hart?
Yeah, I so he's sending kids to school.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked that. I was talking to Dr. Bambi Haggins on my latest Woke Files.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, how'd you like it? Yeah, man, you need to talk to her, dude. She's a wellspring of knowledge on television and film.
Yeah, it was good.
You know,
it was good.
That's her area of expertise.
Yeah.
You know, and both of us were saying about Kevin Hart is like, you know, yeah, that's good. But sometimes your voice is even just rather than giving money to something, just putting a voice to something, I think is amazing, needs to happen sometimes.
Yeah.
That was my problem with Jordan, with Jordan supporting LeBron James. I mean, I guess he was supporting him.
Well, I think he was. I think he just said LeBron's doing great things for his community. People got mad at the syntax of that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it doesn't seem. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like enough.
Well,
That's what always has gotten me about Jordan. It just never seems like enough. And I don't know what enough is. I just feel like I know it when I see it. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's like he's just doing. It's like he's just doing perfunctory things. Like, I guess I got to do this shit. So, motherfuckers, will shut the fuck up.
Well, first of all, Randolph, enough was an early 2000s film with Jennifer Lopez about a woman that was mistreated, and she fought back.
That's true.
She fought back.
You are right. You are right. And I'm pretty sure, didn't a black man teach her how to fight?
I don't know if a black dude taught her.
I think it was a black dude who taught her. I don't know. That trope happens a lot in the movie. You go and a black guy teaches you how to fight.
Of course, yeah. I don't think a black guy in this one helped her, but it was
probably Jaimin Hansu or some shit like that.
I mean, look at the cast.
You must learn how to throw punch, you know, some shit like that.
I fucking took this. Well, Bill Cobbs was in it. Black actor.
Who's that?
Bill Cobbs. Black actor? You know him if you see him. Tall black guy with a beard.
One of you was the one who taught how to fight. Somebody taught her Krav Maga.
Well, I mean, I guess with Kevin Hart or Michael Jordan. No, with Michael Jordan. Can you really judge him from what he was doing in the past to now, to what LeBron's doing? Is that fair? Because in the 90s, we didn't give a shit. We were doing coke and we were fucking each other. That's what we were doing,
we
man.
Perhaps we should have given a shit and we wouldn't be here now. That's first thing. Second thing was that there were people who did give a shit. Not to say that we wouldn't be here now, because the systemic things that are here, I don't even know how we can address them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't address them until the country decides to address them. I think it's James Baldwin who said, exactly how this country goes is exactly how the fate of what's going to happen to black people. So until they address what happens in the country, then. Did I just quote James Baldwin on the Mundane Festival?
You did. That happens, man. There's profound shit that happens. You know.
I think I sort of. I don't think I definitely didn't get the quote right, but you got the gist of the quote.
It sounded cool. Basically. You know, if you didn't address it, then I think we'd have been okay.
I never say his quotes all the way right, but I always get the gist of the quote exactly right, because I know what I'm trying to say. I just can't figure it out. I'm not one of these people who have the quotes all in my head. I know people like that.
You have to Barry Sanders your quotes. Barry Sanders would score a touchdown. He'd give the ball to the ref. He wouldn't even look up at the monitor to see what he did. He's like, I'm Barry Sanders.
Right, right.
I know what I did. I scored.
Right. I don't icky shuffle on the quote.
Right.
No, I know what it is.
Right.
You know, but the quote was that, you know, the black people are going to rise or fall depending on how this country goes.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we can do about systemic stuff, but I do know that as far as the community stuff, I would like the people to be more vocal. There's a lot of people at that time who were really vocal, and we kind of clown them, I think.
I was talking to my parents about, like, we were talking about, like, Kaepernick and Dak Prescott, and it just made me feel bad because, and Bomani Jones said it, he said, you know, these guys are, well, I said it too, like, they're young, they're young, and at the same time,
they're kids,
mm-hmm. They don't have the money or the capital to really make a difference, but I think like him and Ezekiel Elliott, I don't know. Dak Prescott was wrong, but he could have not said any. He could have just said, you know, we're not going to kneel, but I understand an issue. The thing that pisses me off is nobody fucking kneeled during the playoffs. Nobody kneeled during the Super Bowl week 8 or 9. Whenever Jerry Jones kneeled during the season, it was over. When all those owners kneeled, mm-hmm. It was a moot point. It was like they were doing the dab, and we're like, okay, this isn't cool anymore. We're not going to do it. So nobody did it. They keep bringing this up. I don't really listen to sports talk radio or really.
Now, why don't you listen to sports talk radio? Because I used to when I don't anymore, because and I don't specifically because of Colin Kaepernick.
There's a thing called racism, and...
Well, there you go. Like I said, specifically because of Colin Kaepernick. I don't know.
It's just, it's annoying. It's just mm-hmm. It's not good anymore. I can't deal with it. Because everybody keeps doing this verbal judo, talking about respecting the troops and the flag. And the troops already said it's not against us, and that should be enough. You think for the people that are actually serving, if they don't have a problem with it, nobody else should. But that keeps getting brought up, and I mm-hmm. don't want to hear that shit. I don't like it's not, and it's this isn't fun anymore, man. Like this is.
You mean you don't want to fuck with the low key racists like Will Kane?
The low key.
he's low key with it because he thinks he's just not
Will KK Kane. No, I don't think he's that bad.
That motherfucker, man.
It's just not. It's just. It's not funny anymore, man. I can think. Even before all this, the Kaepernick stuff, it just football was kind of boring, but you felt like you had to have red zone on because you're a man. You felt like you had to have it on. If it was something that was interesting, or like if I was doing a play or had a show to do, I wouldn't give a shit. I just look at the highlights later.
Dude, I loved it.
Yeah,
I could watch. I would put the red zone on starting at 12, mm-hmm. and just leave that shit on till 6.
Yeah,
and just be grilling and just sit in the house. Me and my wife were just talking about it. We were back home talking about it with her family because her mother was like, "You guys aren't watching." I'm like, "No." My father-in-law was like, "He's not watching anymore. It's not enjoyable."
It's not. The product.
It's not enjoyable to him. My parents are Cowboys fans. My dad is really like, "Ugh, I can't." It just. Ugh. And it's not enjoyable.
My boss.
You stop enjoying it.
My boss has season tickets to the Giants game. I went last year to a. She gave me a preseason ticket. It was just. One, I didn't really know the players, but it was just. It just wasn't the same. And then nobody went for the last maybe 2 years. Nobody would go with me. Aaron Jackson went with me once. But. But it's hard. I went through a lot of people until I was like, oh, Aaron's right around the way. But it's hard to get rid of a ticket.
Yeah, I went to one of my clients has Washington season tickets, went when they played the Steelers. Me and Andy went.
Yeah,
and that was the game where that was when the anthem protest had first jumped off.
Okay,
and I went out into the lobby. During the national anthem, I didn't want to be in there while the national anthem was on, and it was just the hypocrisy, man. Because if you step out of the arena and you go into the lobby, because I stood right where the door was, because he has really good seats, he has club level seats. So you walk out of the little bar area, you walk right into the seats, and I left Andy there, and I went through the door, and the door girl, the black girl, she was like, "Can't do it, huh?" I said, "Nope." She was like, "I can't either." And then if you look, there's a bar over here. All kind of people are just standing there ordering drinks, yelling, screaming at each other. No one's honoring this anthem. It's bullshit.
Everybody would stop if it really meant something.
Yeah. And then I noticed when we went back, I went back, and then with Andy, that's when it was like weird. Because I want to say it was around 9/11.
Okay.
And I want to say, man, it was like weirdly patriotic. Mm-hmm. Like they did a flyover from Andrews Air Force Base, and then in the third quarter they had the pilots come down on the field. They had like first responders. They took first responders on the field. Just some fucking paramedic. "Hey, I'm a paramedic. Give it up for our first responders." Like, this guy does nothing. He's just a paramedic. Give it up for this guy. You know, and then they had like people playing music, like marching band, like it was weirdly patriotic. Like, yeah, you need to be patriotic and join the military. It was fucking disturbing. It was disturbing. That was the first time I really noticed it then. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is fucking disturbing. This is really fucking disturbing. That was the last football game I went to, and then I really started to kind of sour on watching the NFL after that.
Yeah, it's certainly not the same. I mean, I used to, even college football, even you just think about what they do to the kid. I guess that just comes with age. You know, part of it, you just kind of think about, you try to hold on to everything that you thought that was so great during your childhood. And then you kind of start to see things, and you see things for what it is. The emperor has no clothes on, and it's just like, this is bullshit.
Yeah. You see how they treat those kids in college?
Yeah.
Watch that thing on Real Sports how they do the HBCUs, and they just throw them at the big institution as cannon fodder, and kids end up getting paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just to make money.
Right.
You know, I mean, for me, look, basketball is where it's at right now.
Well, basketball never ceases to really be fun. Part of it for me is NBA.
You just said it. Basketball never ceases to be fun. That's the quote of this podcast. Basketball never ceases to be fun until we talk about Black Klansmen. But basketball never ceases to be fun. It's fun as shit.
even though you know that the Golden State Warriors are going to win, barring
it. Who cares?
You're right.
Why
nobody cares.
Why are we acting like we care about that?
Right. We don't.
Why do we act like we care? We like watching the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah.
You watch basketball because you want to see the athleticism. You want to see somebody do a no-look pass and tomahawk dunk on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's why no one watches the WNBA. That's why. I don't know why people keep acting like this is such a hard thing to wrap your mind around.
The views of Randolph.
I want to see somebody yam on
Chris
something.
The Monday Festival Podcast.
It's the truth, man.
I like women, I think women should have equal opportunities to do the thing.
You know, and like I said, I got a daughter who plays basketball.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll take her if she wants to go. She'd rather watch the guys play. I don't know what to tell you. It's just a faster game. It's faster. It's more exciting. And that's just what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any problem with them getting more money. I think they should get more money based on if they're getting gypped out of money. I don't want anybody to get gypped out of money. If they're getting paid compensatory to what they're earning, then I'm fine with that.
It's like the women, you know what I mean? The female basketball players are kind of doing what guys back in the day professional athletes back in the day had to do.
Yeah.
Like I sell cars during the off season.
They weren't making any money.
Yeah.
You know, you can make money overseas in Europe but there's no money to be made. Well, the reason why there's no money to be made is no one goes.
It's like, everything that happened in Love and Basketball, like that shit was real.
Right.
You know.
Right. I remember they tried to sell it as, you know, the women have great fundamentals. That was when I was a kid, when there was two women's leagues. And that was how I tried to sell it. Women have great fundamentals. I was like, well, you know who else has great fundamentals? Everybody in the NBA.
Yeah.
They do. That's why they're in the NBA. They have great fundamentals. You know. And they're great athletes. They have great fundamentals. That's not to say that the women aren't great athletes either. I like to see a game above the rim.
Yeah, it seems like it's starting to grow. I mean, at least they're putting.
All they got to do is lower the rim 1 foot.
They're putting them in the video games now. After 30,
they should. That's
after
that
20 plus years.
That should have already happened. I don't know why that didn't happen. Yeah. You know, they don't have a WNBA game. That doesn't make any sense. I don't game like that, but they don't have one.
I think they had the WNBA teams in. NBA Live, but nobody bought them.
Yeah.
So now they're putting. I think now there's going to be.
So it's going to take star players and put them in with the guy too. Are the strengths comparable?
I don't know. Like you can play against Allen Iverson in the street ball thing.
Yeah. Okay. Is he going to be stronger than the woman? Or going to be faster?
I don't know. Probably.
You know.
I don't know what they're gonna do. I haven't played any.
I don't play like that, yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems like it's starting to grow. I mean,
WNBA? No, it's not.
No, you don't think so? God, I was trying to be positive, Randolph. Jesus Christ.
No, it's not.
Like, no, it's not. I don't know.
It's been in existence for like almost 20 years now.
I thought that they're. Aren't they doing?
I think
more
it's
shit?
Almost 20 years. Check the numbers. And see if they operate in the black or if they're still operating in the red. Because they operated in the red for almost the whole existence of it. It's subsidized through the NBA. The NBA pushes money into it. 90, check the numbers and see if they've gone into the black.
So it's over 20 years, 22 years old.
Yeah, I was living in Texas when it came on.
Oh, man.
And there was a rival league to the WNBA because I knew a girl, Clarissa Davis. She lived on the street behind my street. She played in that league, in the other women's league, because she played in Europe. She played in Italy. She was fucking good. Mm-hmm. We were growing up. Woo, she was a good basketball player.
The average salary across these players was $71,635.
That's Trump voter money. Okay.
The average salary was $75,000 2 years ago. If we take this slightly higher figure than the 157 WNBA players in 2017 were paid $11,775,000
combined.
Well, jeez,
across all players. Yeah, that's not even one player's one NBA. That's like a mid-level guy's contract.
Yeah,
in the NBA.
half of the WNBA's
one of the white guys who plays with LeBron. That's his contract.
I'm answering your question here. Half of the WNBA's 12 teams lose money, and they benefit from revenue generated by the NBA's national television.
The NBA, right.
The highest salary is Shaxi Flame in China, because I want the but it's not saying who this is. The Shaxi Flame in China. What the fuck?
Chung-Zi?
Oh, Maya Moore. Okay. Former UConn star Maya Moore laments the current state of the NBA. She also plays in China, because like unlike the WNBA, where top players sign multi-million-dollar contracts with their teams, WNBA's highest paid player gets $107,000 per year.
Yeah, she makes millions over there.
Yeah.
And she should go there and play.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so right there, you say half the teams don't clear revenue?
Right.
Okay, well, therein lies everything. Half the teams don't clear revenue.
So you think if they is the basket 10 feet?
I don't know. I don't know what you do to make people. I'm just spitballing. Tim and I used to talk about that all the time.
Tim has a great bit on that.
Yeah, just lower the rim. We talked about it one day. He started talking about it on stage. Just lower the rim. They don't want to do that because that has been suggested. They're like, we don't have to do that. I'm like, yeah, but you already play with a smaller ball, which increases your shot percentages.
The tees are up in golf. The tees are up front, further.
Yeah,
up.
I mean, yeah, you play the tips. They're further forward, so lower the rim. Yeah. Who cares?
Right.
You know, no one's going to notice.
Somebody, because there's a podcast that I listen to, all this podcast, I'll shout him out. It's called Hysteria. And they were talking about, like, somebody dunked, but it was like, it was only a dunk that was like, it wasn't that good. You know what I mean?
It was probably Brittany Grimes.
No, it wasn't her.
Grimes?
I don't remember.
That, she dunks like, yeah, she dunks like three step bang.
But everybody cleared the way so she could get the breakaway dunk.
You get a breakaway dunk? She didn't power her way in?
Yeah, it was an all-star game, and they just kind of got out of the way. Yeah,
you put Brittany Griner dunks.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But she doesn't really do it much in games, but she dunks.
Yeah. I think that would be good, though.
I mean, it wouldn't hurt. Yeah. It can't. Like, let me put it this way. It can't hurt.
Right.
Half the teams aren't making money, so give it a shot. Give it a shot.
Give it a go.
Try it. See what happens.
I wouldn't be mad at it. It's hard for me. Like, it's hard to. I don't watch sports as much as I want. My favorite cable channel is NBA TV, though. I do like that channel. I watch that when nothing's on, and then they'll have sometimes.
You like the athleticism.
Yeah. I don't mind. Speaking of athleticism, man, I went to see Mean Girls, and I'll rave over it.
My wife asked me. My wife told me to ask you about that.
In the intro,
how'd you like it?
Tell her, holy shit!
Post like that.
It's fucking great. Okay. Now, I was a fan of the movie. I own it on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting.
Never saw the movie, by the way.
You never saw it? That's because it's because of your toxic masculinity that we need to dispel from our DNA.
That's true.
So
I did watch. What did I watch? Let me. Clueless.
Clueless was 90. That was like over eight. That was like 8 years before. That was 96.
That's my time, man. I'm older than you.
I know, but. I mean, you know, whatever. My dad saw it. He's older than you.
Oh, he saw Mean Girls?
Yeah, I think because I had it on DVD and he watched it.
Oh, okay, that don't count.
One time, I had Save the Last Dance on DVD. I still have it. Who am I kidding?
Oh, I saw that. I like that.
That was great. That so yeah. I remember one time because my dad, God, he had to be. I think that came out in 2000. He had to be about 50. Or 60.
Yeah, that movie had everything. That movie
it was
had
so
everything
good.
You like. It had white starlet dancing.
Yep.
Hip hop music, R&B music,
it.
black angst.
Oh, so fucking good.
Going to artistic school and education and somebody who's educated, somebody who's a thug,
do you want
and a
junior?
Scholar. That movie had everything you like.
Oh, it was the shit. It was the best. So
yeah, I like that movie.
I just remember like coming downstairs and I was like, oh, you're watching it? All right.
How'd you know? Because the Ice Cube song?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
You can do put your back into it.
Yep, that was a shit, man. Like, so
yeah, love that shit.
So seeing this play, you got to fucking see. Like, these kids, Rick killed that shit. Like, Rick was the principal. So it really, he did his thing. He was, you know, he handled his business. He hit the jokes and everything. These fucking kids, man, they're athletes.
That's what Rick said.
They're
That's
athletes.
Said.
They're fucking.
Yeah.
I was like, Rick, man. I was like, I knew this was going to be good. I think I told him, I was like, holy shit. Like four or five times after. Those kids were dancing and the pipes on these kids, the singing voices. Oh, my God. It was incredible. It was an incredible experience. And on a Sunday
night. Was the dancing in it as good as the dancing in Hairspray?
Oh, like in.
Those kids are dancing in Hairspray. Jesus Christ.
I would put it up against any Broadway musical that I've seen.
Would you? Because in Hairspray, I'm talking about the movie Hairspray, which is based on the Broadway musical. That dancing they do in those scenes, I didn't even realize that dude Twist from Ellen DeGeneres' show is in Hairspray.
Is that the kid? Is the black kid that was he in?
He's just in all. He's one of the black extras.
Is he?
So he can fucking dance.
Is he? Was he in a New Edition story? Or is
you know
he,
No. You know who was in New Edition story was the guy who was the black male lead in Hairspray. The little dude.
Well,
Michael Bivins.
That's what I'm thinking about then.
Okay, Twist is Ellen DeGeneres' DJ on her show.
Oh.
He's just kind of dancing in the scene. At the end, he dances with the white girl, Amber. He goes and she's looking at him. He goes and gets her and dances with her. I've seen Hairspray too much.
Yeah, well, well, dude, I'll tell you, man. I'm talking about like live performance. Like it was incredible. Like the energy that was in that theater. Like there were like all these kids, like these young girls, are like, oh my God! I think some of these people have gone to see this show two and three times.
I love the fact that Rick calls you for a ticket. And you're like, how much is it gonna cost me?
Oh, he told you that.
That you told me.
Oh yeah, cause I didn't. You never, dog. You never know. You never know, man.
Yeah.
You know how much. Because people on Facebook. Well, Rick is a G, but some of these people on Facebook. Some of these people on Facebook. Like, yo, I got some tickets for Michelle Wolf's show tonight. Message me for the details.
You message them and they're like, okay, I need you to give me $175.
Exactly.
You're like, what?
Yeah. I was like, I love Michelle, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, I ain't doing that.
Yeah, but it was amazing. Like, it's just, I just had so much appreciation to what they were doing because that shit is so fucking hard. And I think they did 9 shows last week. I think they did 9. Usually it's 8, but I think they did.
They added one?
I think they might have.
Man, they must be killing. They must be killing themselves.
They are making bank.
Yeah,
but it's just so like just those kids.
Yeah, because I was talking to Rick. His contract is only 1 year. I'm like, well, you gonna sign on?
Well, let's not talk about that on my but no, it's those kids are. One of my favorite things to watch as an audience member. People that can sing really well. And these people are singing and dancing. Like, they're athletes. It's just like the time that I saw Usher. You know, as a comic, as a performer, you break stuff down. You're like, okay, this is like one side. It's like this double consciousness where it's like, okay, I'm enjoying this show. This is fun. These people are really talented. But then you kind of look back. You kind of like you pull the magnifying glass back and then you start to see even more shit. where it's just like you analyze it as like, oh, God, this, he's doing this, this, and this. Like Usher, like these kids are singing and dancing at the same time. They're
if you really want to see the athleticism, you got to go watch them rehearse. I remember watching going to my wife's dance studio when we were first started seeing each other, and watching them rehearse a show.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, you guys train as hard as I train.
I can believe
in the
dojo. I've been there.
In the boxing gym.
Yeah,
you guys train easily as hard as I train.
I've watched. I didn't start to have the true appreciation of performers like that till I went to grad school, because I was in a conservatory, and you know, I would just act and I'll sing the song. You're singing the song on stage, and then I'm done. But you watch these kids like that are actually acting the song, you know, like, because they're putting out all this emotion in this song, and they're telling you, giving you everything, and they're fucking crying, and you're like, fuck, there's another level to this. And and these people are doing on Broadway, which is the apex. They're doing it 9 times a week. That show.
Yeah,
like
my wife was saying, what's that show that Evan Hansen? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I was asking her about it when I was last time I was home.
Yeah, did she tell you about the woman who wrote some online letter about how he didn't come out and sign autographs?
The motherfucker was probably tired. No, she didn't tell me.
Well, yeah, this guy, she showed it to me, and then he wrote a response to her. He was basically like, listen, bitch, I pour everything emotional, everything inside of me into this performance every night, night after night.
Right.
And sometimes I just can't come out. I gave you everything I had in the performance.
Yeah.
I'm not capable of coming out. So you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Kareem in Airplane, when he grabs a little kid, listen, tell your old man to drag Walton and Lampier up and down the court for 48 minutes.
Yeah. And I think the kids appreciate, like, the, you know, when they're standing outside at the stage door, people really do appreciate it. But some people are so big that it's hard for them to come out, because I was told, somebody told me that one of the main actors, somebody tried to follow her home. It's that fucking crazy.
Yeah, they reached that moment.
Yeah. It's incredible, man. It's nothing to me. There's nothing like a live performance, like theater, music, comedy. You know, it's just mainly like music and theater. But it's really amazing, dude.
Yeah, were you and Rick able to go get something to eat out for us?
Yeah, we hung out. We hung out after. Paid too much for a quesadilla at this place.
Yeah, it goes.
But it was good though. I've had. Have you ever had? I've been having this streak lately, where I've been to restaurants when it's been kind of shitty. Not the price. It's just like the food's just not good, and you hate it.
Yeah. I mean, you make a bad choice in a restaurant.
I had a burger on Wednesday. It was so bad I couldn't finish it.
Well, where was it at? Was it a chain?
No, it was at this place. It was at this place. I'm not going to say the name, but it was at this place in Jersey where I've been following them on Instagram. And they're like, oh, the burgers are good. And it's mainly a hot dog place, but they have burgers.
Wait. We just ain't gonna roll past the fact that you're following a burger place on Instagram. We just gonna roll right by that? You just gonna act like that's not a thing?
Restaurants have thousands of followers.
Follow Instagram first?
Yeah,
you're a foodie now?
No. It's just so I don't forget about it. Like if I ever
okay.
Yeah. If I'm ever in the area, like I'll try to, you know, like after an audition or if I'm doing a spot somewhere and like somebody tells me about a place, I'll follow it on Instagram if I'm interested. And then I'll think, oh, what about this? Like my buddies, if they want to go out to brunch or something. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with
that. How are the black comedian brunches going?
They've been good. We went to one.
He said that Mean Girls was amazing. The dance, the songs, singers, dancers, it's amazing.
It's so great.
Rick's amazing in it. He said it's crazy good how good it is.
Yeah, Rick is just like he's in there like mainly on the second act.
She just poked her head in here being nosy.
She's got to come. You got to come see it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Princessa would like it, too. I think she's,
I don't know.
10?
She liked Aladdin. Aladdin made her sad and scared all at the same time.
She's 11, 10?
Was it Aladdin? No, Aladdin, she was fine.
No. How old is
Lion,
how,
Lion King, 10.
How old is your 10?
10. A Lion King made her sad and scared and happy all at the same time.
I could see that.
Well, yeah, like the dad died. She was pretty upset about that.
Yeah. The script was good. It was funny. It was, it's a must see, especially because I don't think I would have seen it unless Rick was in it. But mm-hmm. it would just be like so much other stuff that I'd probably see. Maybe something I'd probably see before that. But knowing what I know now,
yeah,
if you see that with that, try to see it with that original cast. And especially because Rick's in it. Rick is a supporting character because there's one, he's Mr. Duval. There's a woman that plays that I had a crush on her. She's great. And she plays like Regina George's mom. She plays Katie's mom. And then I think she plays another character too. I think she plays at least two characters. But anyway, like, so it's really like grown up people. It's really just Rick and the other woman that's like a Tony Award winner.
Dude made it all the way to Broadway, man.
Huh?
You made it all the way to Broadway. There's your path right there for you.
For me, well, we'll see. Well, I had an audition for a pretty big role for me. We're at my career now. That's pretty. If I booked it, it would be pretty cool.
For a play or
for a TV show?
Have you started auditioning for plays? You have that background.
I have.
You don't audition for plays?
Well, it's mainly like Elf the musical.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't be if I were to. I didn't audition again because it wouldn't have been enough money to leave my job.
Well,
if it was like Hamilton or some shit and it was touring like for the whole year, yeah, if I booked that, I would definitely do that. But for now, like, I would love, like, did I tell you I went to the Williamstown Theater Festival?
Yes, you did. Yeah, we talked about it.
It would be cool to do something like that, you know, if I wasn't, but you kind of have to be okay financially to mm-hmm. do something like that, but it would be, it's a great experience though. Like, I'm sure it is to do something like that, but, you know, if things break the right way, you never know. But,
that's true.
I'm sort of just at the point where it's just like, when I was a lot younger, I was telling Rick, I think I'd said it when he was on, it was just sort of like, okay, if I get this, oh my God, this can change my life. Now it's like, that would be a nice check. We could pay.
Yeah.
You could pay some bills. Like, you do a day on a TV show. It's like, oh, that's a good check.
That's how I feel.
Pay some bills.
I feel like, I need a gig right quick to give me something.
Yeah. Because that's what it's about. Like, because you know, like,
you don't even think about networking anymore, nothing like that. Like, fucking networking. Just
you start spending that money in your head.
Eating 4 or 5 shows. That's what I need.
Yep.
4 or 5 shows in a row. I don't need no. Care about no networking. You gonna try and go on the road with him? I ain't worried about that shit. He ain't taking me nowhere. I need a 4 or 5 show with that money.
Like, that's gonna put some that's gonna put some brakes on the car.
Yeah.
That's what it's about, man. What did you think about the did you hear about the stuff like I think it was like Jennifer Lopez is getting a VMA for like Vanguard, like a special achievement award, and people were mad about it.
For what?
She's like a lifetime achievement award from MTV's VMAs.
Lifetime achievement.
I guess you don't agree. Jennifer Lopez.
For what? Being fine, having a nice ass.
I get. I don't think. Wow, the views of Randolph Terrence once again do not reflect.
Yeah, well, I said it.
VMAs.
We're going to act like her looks don't have nothing to do with her being where she's at? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, she's hot. She's gorgeous. But
she's hot as hell, dude. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean,
she's on the other side of hot.
She won. She got this. She was honored. She got the Vanguard Award, and people were mad. They're like, Missy Elliott should have got it. I was like, it's not to say that she won't get it.
Well, hey, now, hold on now. If you talk, so tell me who pull up the list of other Vanguard Award winners.
Okay.
You buy the computer, pull that up. Let's talk about that first.
MTV.
Tell me who has it. Better yet, tell me who doesn't have it. And then I'll say something one way or the other.
I mean, I didn't know people would be that mad about it, though.
Because they probably feel about the way I feel about the Mark Twain Award for comedy.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. But let's see, it's on Wikipedia, so it's the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award.
Okay.
List of recipients. Okay. Is this real? I don't know if this.
Do they have some sort of criteria for the video? Like, it has to be groundbreaking or some shit like that?
No. Okay, so we've got David Bowie.
Okay, all right.
In 1984, we got the Beatles.
Two icons. Okay.
Richard Lester. He directed.
I don't know who that is.
He directed A Hard Day's Night.
Oh, okay, all right. So he's a director. He directed the movie A Hard Day's Night. Yeah. Okay, well, that's basically a whole big ass music video, and it's fantastic. So yeah. Okay.
David Byrne.
Yes.
Madonna. I'm skipping a little bit.
Yes. Too.
Peter Gabriel.
Yes.
Julian Temple.
Don't know him. Did he do some sort of directing or something?
He was honored for his work as a music video director. Okay. Michael Jackson, obviously.
Yes, obviously.
George Michael, Janet Jackson.
Yes. Yes.
Bon Jovi, Guns N' Roses.
Yes.
Tom Petty, yes. The Rolling Stones.
Yes.
R.E.M. Yes. LL Cool J.
Yes. Okay. All right. Now listen. Commercially, let's be honest. LL was one of the first hip hop heartthrobs.
Yeah. He was the first to win.
You gotta respect that.
The first rapper.
It's either gonna be LL or Run DMC, and LL had way more videos.
Than
anybody else.
So he won in '97 as the first rapper.
Okay.
The Beastie Boys.
Okay, yeah, obviously.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, U2, Duran.
Yes, yes.
Hype Williams, Britney Spears.
Yes. Okay.
Videos now.
Britney, because she was a phenomenon for 20 minutes, but she was.
Yeah. Justin Timberlake.
Same thing.
Beyonce, obviously.
Oh my god, of course. And that was early Beyonce too, so.
Kanye West, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Rihanna.
Yes.
Pink.
There's a loose one. There's a loose wheel.
Presented by Ellen DeGeneres after a 7-minute medley of her greatest hits.
Okay, well.
And now Jennifer Lopez.
All right, well, first of all, I don't put Jennifer Lopez on. I maybe put her on, I was going to say, you can maybe put her on a level with Britney Spears, but I don't think you can do that. Jennifer Lopez wasn't a force the way Britney Spears was a force, not in my opinion.
I mean, there was a point in time.
She's fine.
There was a point in time where she had the number one movie in the country, The Wedding Planner, and the number one album in the country.
That movie was number one?
The Wedding Planner was a good movie.
Shut up.
The only thing I don't like about Jennifer Lopez's career was the fact that they made her play like white people, like Italians and shit.
Absolutely.
I didn't like that. I didn't like what they did. Like,
She's played everything except Puerto Rican. She played Mexican.
I didn't appreciate that. And then the idiotic shit, because I look at her as an all-around entertainer. I've liked her mainly in movies more so than music. But she had some jams. Like On the Six The lead single, If You Had My Lovin' Again.
That's a good song. Now listen, if people are pushing for Missy Elliott, and she doesn't have one, I back that.
I don't have a problem with Missy getting one.
Missy Elliott's videos, Missy herself and her video. First of all, the videos were groundbreaking. That's Hype Williams.
Yeah.
Obviously, but the videos were insane. Missy's songs are insane. You know, so the fact she doesn't have one, that's...
And who's to say she won't get one?
I don't know. Seems like they're just going for sex symbols.
I don't like... But
Rihanna, Britney Spears, Janet Jackson.
I just don't like the fact that Jennifer Lopez's career kind of... I don't know. It seems like people are kind of reductive about her career. I mean, I've enjoyed, like, and somebody said...
Well, she's a Las Vegas lounge act now. She's a Vegas act now. It's money.
Some dumbass, you know? On Twitter said something like she capitalized off Selena's death. She was cast in a movie. That's not her
fault. She was cast in a movie. That's not how that works, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Like, you fucking idiot.
I don't know, man.
She was cast in a movie.
It just seems like...
fucking idiot.
It just seems like people, like, I don't like how... I don't like how, and I'm going to get on my soapbox, Randolph. I don't like how black women and other women of color, they just seem like they, like these celebrities, they get the shit end of the stick when it comes to like their career. It just seems, fucking weird to me. Like somebody, some comic on Facebook wrote something about, like, Beyonce, they were mad because Beyonce had a kid and she's on the fucking cover of the magazine, and she's, and people were mad because they felt like she bounced back after her pregnancy, how fast she bounced
back. You mean because she got back into shape, her body snapped back the way it's supposed to? You mean like that?
I guess so, man.
you mean like that?
And they get mad because they don't say
she physically takes care of her, because she physically takes care of herself. You mean like that?
I don't know. And I was, you know, I was listening to another. I was listening to a podcast where they were saying, yeah, you know, like she was a little bigger. People were saying, how come she's bigger? Is she pregnant again? It's like, no. When she performed at the Coachella, she just had three kids. She had.
We're gonna act like she's not fine. That's what I said. Shit like that. I'm like, so we're gonna act like she's not fine now that we're doing. Is that what she's trying to do?
I don't know,
like, she's not fine?
It's just weird. It's weird to me. Like, every time a black woman has a kid or something, like when she did her pictures and stuff, people were mad at that. White women were mad about it. It seems like they always seem to have a problem with black women when they have kids. Like, it mainly, they really just get mad when Beyonce and Serena do stuff.
Well, you just answered your own question. It seems like they have a problem with black women. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all. That's all it is.
And, like, I got pissed.
Black woman is killing the game. She, pregnancy, don't stop her.
Right.
You know, problems in her marriage, that don't stop her.
And then she almost fucking died. You know,
husband, that don't stop her. None of that shit stops. You know what I mean?
Didn't they have these stories about them almost getting really sick, like both Beyonce and Serena? I need to read this.
Well, Serena definitely.
But I think something came up. I didn't read the
book. But it was a surprise. But Beyonce's so private about her stuff, she didn't want to talk about. Serena was trying to prove a point. We must have read the same article, me and Serena, because she talked about reading the article. She was like, and I want to tell my story.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, oh, shit, I read that piece. You know?
It just pisses me off. A couple days before.
Yeah, I mean, they're damned if they're doing it, damned if they don't. It's just about black women. It's not about anything other than that.
Yeah, it's like you can't stay in your place. Yeah, why are people making a big deal?
So you want to be mad at LeBron because he big ups black and colored women. He was trying to say women of color.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what he was trying to say, but he said colored women, whatever. You want to get mad at LeBron.
And I think he put trans women on in that collage,
too. Yeah, so you want to get mad because he's big up in women of color. Well, the reason why he's big up on them is because of this shit.
Yeah.
You know, so shut the fuck up.
And they don't seem to care. Like, NBA players don't care about who says what to any type of backlash. They don't care about it at all.
No, why?
I don't blame them. No, I'm glad that they don't.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they don't, because it's just one of those things where they seem to have that autonomy where it's like they're human beings.
Yeah.
And they can say what's on their mind. You know, they're not doing anything wrong. I don't know. It's
no, not at all.
It's just becoming so annoying to me, to where you can't. I don't know if you. I think I know the answer to this. I don't feel like you ever tune out at all. Do you ever tune out? Just all the bullshit.
If I do, not long. I try to. I can't. I can't turn my mind off. My mind's always processing.
It's hard for me too, because I went to go see that movie, The Darkest Minds. You know, it's kind of like an X-Men thing, divergent, post-apocalyptic shit movie.
Who's in that?
Amanda Stenberg, Rue from Hunger Games.
Okay, I was about to say, one of your white stars?
No, actually, she's brown. No, yeah. She's brown.
Yeah, I know. She's cute.
She is cute.
She's a little girl, but she's cute.
20 years old.
I know you look.
Let's just say.
I know you feel bad lusting after these little girls. Like, let me see if she's legal.
No. Let's just say that she's grown up.
That's how I feel. If ever I turn on like ESPN or something, and they're showing gymnastics,
you turn away.
Like, is this collegiate? No, yeah. I'm like, is this collegiate? Is this collegiate? Because let me just make sure.
Check the birthdays on these.
Is collegiate these okay? UCLA team, great.
You're like, whew. Oh God.
Yeah. Whew, Jesus.
Caitlin is 21 years. Thank God. No, but it's interesting to me.
Senior team captain. Great.
Oh God.
Fantastic.
No, but like it's interesting to me, because these these young adult novels that get made into these movies. And I was thinking, like, I was like, okay, like a young woman like Amanda Stenberg, Yara Shahidi from Grownish and Blackish, we're now starting to get to the point where you can watch these young women of color have a career, like get to do all the roles that these white girls are getting, and they're doing the same thing. And I like to see what that progression is.
It seems to me like they're still a little bit held back.
Oh, of course. No, they got a long way to go. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it definitely seems to me like there's a long, long way for them to... through no fault of theirs, by the way. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying this industry is still holding them down. I don't know if they're... I would assume they're doing the same thing to them as they do to the guys of... only one of y'all at a time, but just so make a decision.
Well, Gabrielle Union came up that way. She came up that way. Like, she was
doing a lot. Yeah, she was the one. She was in every movie.
And she was in her late, it's kind of like in her mid to late 20s when that was happening to her. And her co-stars were like a few years younger, like maybe 5 to 10 years younger. But like, so I'm looking at the reviews of Darkest Minds. It's okay. Like, I think they shitted on it. It was. I watched the movie and shit. It was fine.
Is that the one where she has powers?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I saw the trailer for it. It's gone.
It's 19% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh my God! Really?
So they hated it. The critics hated it.
Was it as good as is it as good as the Magic, the Black Magic movie?
Black Magic. What's Black Magic?
The black kid who was a magician. He made himself into a superhero.
Oh, Slight. I think it was
right. Yeah,
it was all right. It was about as good as that. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, but see,
I think you and I had talked about that. That's when you'll know black people have really arrived in show business.
Yeah,
is that we can make movies that are like that
that are just okay. Yeah,
and we're just allowed to make movies like that. They just tell the story, and they're just okay. And you just go see it, and there's maybe four people in the theater, but the shit stays in the theater.
Yeah.
When we start making movies like that, then we've arrived. Manny Chris Warren. Rock said that one time when we start having coaches who get fired all the time, like Jeff Fisher.
Right.
Fired, rehired. That's how you know.
Or my man, what's the Browns coach? I mean, not the Browns coach. Bengals coach. Fuck, what's wrong with me?
Oh, Marvin?
Marvin Lewis.
Marvin Lewis. Yeah, but he's with the same team.
He keeps getting.
That's some weird loyalty shit between him and the owner.
Yeah.
You know. I'm talking about when you get fired from one team, immediately hired to be head coach the next season.
Your mediocrity isn't held against you.
Yeah, and you're mediocre. You ain't even that good.
Yeah.
You know, at least Marvin Lewis is a good coach.
This thing with the dark, to my point for this Darkest Minds thing, so you do these young adult novel adaptations and people go see them, but this is the one you shit on where it just happens to be a black girl as the lead. This is the one you give a 17%. And I've seen my black friends not like it on their websites and stuff, but it was just like, I've seen this movie before. It's fine. You know what I mean? Like, I use my AMC, my A-list thing from AMC, but I was just like, it's fine. It's not horrible.
Right. And, you know, it's like, yeah, and that's, you know, when we can just be fine. You know, everything's not going to be Black Panther.
We're
not going to have another Black Panther until the next Black Panther comes out.
I was sitting by a black family. Young black people, they were laughing and they were having a good time. So I don't, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world, but I just see these other young adult novels that get adapted. Oh my God, this is so good. But this one you're shitting on, you know?
Well, Twilight, to me, look, I never watched Twilight because I was like, I ain't watching this shit.
I've seen a couple.
But they act like it was the greatest shit. I'm like, it ain't Harry Potter. It's what you're trying to fuck with, and you ain't fucking with it. So,
Twilight people love those,
and all of those aren't good. Although I did like the one with the dude, the
Wolf Boy,
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the last Harry Potter show.
Oh, there's a new one coming out soon.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna see it because the first one got me in there on HBO. I watched it and I was like, oh, I actually like this.
Okay.
So I guess I'm gonna go see the next one in the theater.
Well, Randolph, let's wrap this one up, man. And then we'll get into the bonus for the people that actually
bonus, baby,
Patreon
bonus.
Folks. Where can people find you? Plug your
work. You can find me at the podcast Three Guys On. .com. Most of you are already listening. I'm sure some of you are not fucking freeloaders. You're on the Patreon, and God knows we appreciate you. And even if you are a fucking freeloader, we appreciate you too. Don't think we don't. Is this going to go up on the 17th? Probably not.
This will go up this weekend. So this will be what, the 12th, 13th, or something like that?
Yeah, that's before. Okay, yeah. All right. So on the 17th, I will be at Stand Up New York. In New York City, with Frankie French and Courtney Farrington. Frankie asked me to come up and open the show for her. She's doing an industry showcase.
Nice.
So you guys come on out and check that out. I'm gonna try and hook up with Chris while I'm there.
Yeah, we'll have to try.
That is August 17th. I'm coming up. So that's Friday night. So you guys come on out. Myself, Courtney Farrington, Frankie French. Like I said, it's her industry showcase, so come on and support her. If you look on the website, Stand Up New York, you'll see her picture. That's the show. Click on it, buy some tickets, come on through.
All right. Well, Randolph, thanks so much for hanging with me. And
thank you, man. And thank you for all the fans who listen.
All right.
Appreciate you guys.
All right. Take it easy, everybody.